amen.
Amen.
Victory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, the church I grew up in, there was a lot of life and movement in the church because we were a spirit-filled church. And so it was very common for people to shout. I have a meemaw, was a praying lady, and I didn't like standing by her in church when I was a teenager. Because the Holy Spirit would hit her, not hit her like with a bat, you know. The Holy Spirit would come upon her. How many of you have ever sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit? In one way or another. I think we all have. Different times, different measures. You know, maybe you're in a conversation with someone and you just sense God. You sense His presence. Or maybe, you know, you're in a service. You're listening to your pastor preach. And suddenly, something's made really clear to you. You see something. A word is dropped in your heart. There's many different ways and times the Holy Spirit speaks. I've been, when we were traveling with the crusade team, I remember playing cards. Which in the Pentecostal church I grew up in, that was a cardinal sin. But anyway, not my generation, but the generation before me, they weren't allowed to play cards. So we're playing cards during the afternoon for fun. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me. I had a vision. While I was playing cards. The Holy Ghost was there while I was playing cards. Isn't that amazing? He comes and He speaks to us in the night. But I don't believe there's anyone in this room that the Spirit of God hasn't spoken to in different ways and different times of your life. And so the Holy Spirit is a person. You know, if you think about us in life in general, we all have very different personalities. Shelly and I, for instance, have very different personalities. How do I know this? Because we work together. And we have some similarities. We're both very strong. And so we learned how to work together and pray together and sing together. And thank God we both had the Holy Ghost, because if we didn't, maybe I don't know what it would have been like. But we had the Spirit of truth. It wasn't hard. But you know, when you have two different people and their personalities are different. So Shelly is real sweet. I am sometimes. My husband just held himself back from saying amen. Shelly is super sweet. I mean, she can rebuke you with a smile. And you feel the love. Amen. And that's a gift. And so we love that about her. And me, I have to work at that. So I like to just, you know, throw the hammer down and say exactly what I'm thinking. But my point is, I know that's funny, my point is that, you know, we're all different. We relate differently. And so the Holy Spirit, He's a person. And He, you know, He is the representative of the Father in the earth. He communicates, the Bible says He communicates the will of the Father to us, the Holy Spirit. And in John, I believe it's 16, it says that He will disclose and transmit to us the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. He will disclose and transmit. When I think about transmit, you know, if you have a smartphone, how many of you have smartphones? Almost everybody. How many of you have a computer of some type? How many of you have a device of some type? iPad, okay, everybody. Then you could take that device and plug it in to another device and you can transmit things, right? You can transmit information. And when I think about the Holy Ghost, I think about Him that way. That He is the representative of the Father, and He has all of this information stored up that He's wanting to transmit to us. And the wonderful thing is that we don't have to like run around seeking to find him because he's already in us. And so we, in order to access that information, we just have to yield to the Holy Spirit. We have to yield to him. Just like I would spend time with Shelly and talk with Shelly and hang out with Shelly, I have to hang out with him. Well, he's always there, but he's waiting for me to meet with him. He's always there. And so I didn't forget about my meemaw, my grandmother. But my meemaw knew how to yield to the Holy Spirit. And so the reason I didn't like sitting by her in services is I knew if there was any touch of a move of God at all, she's going to tap into it or and be the conduit that it flowed through. And if you were near her, anything that was on you that needed not to be on you was going to be broken off. And so as a teenager, you know, for me, my heart was towards God, but there were just, you know, some things that I was working through, some temptation to rebel against different things. I was never, like, into a lot of trouble, but I tried. And so I remember being in church with her and sitting next to her, and she would let out a shout. And when I say a shout, it wasn't like an annoying shout. It was like from the deepest place in her. And she would let out this shout, and I would instantly, every time, burst into tears. Not because I was afraid, but because she knew how to tap in to the reservoir of the Spirit on the inside of her. She knew how to yield to the Spirit of God. I was just thinking about that the other day, and I wondered sometimes if maybe she was picking up on something and maybe didn't know what it was, but it didn't matter. She knew how to get the victory. And the way she got the victory was yielding to the Holy Ghost. And she would let out that shout, and before you know it, I'm weeping, my hands are raised, you know, and 10 minutes before, I couldn't wait to get out of church. And so, why are we talking about that? Because the Holy Spirit, he's here, he's present. You know, I believe he's here when we come together. The Word of God says, where two or more are gathered, he's in the midst. So he's here today. He's always here, he's always present. But then he's on the inside of us too. And I believe that the power that's within us is greater than the things and the powers that are working against us. And so as a believer, we have a choice to tap into that. And I'll tell you this, my meemaw could embarrass some people because she flat didn't care. And I'm not saying that we need to be crazy and make a fool of ourselves, but do you know that the gospel is foolish? The gospel makes no sense to the natural mind. A friend of mine says, it makes no sense, how does he say it, about the cow with the milk, that a black cow eats green grass and makes white milk. And the gospel can take a black soul, red blood, on a black soul and make it white as snow. In the natural, there's no, you can't wrap your mind around it. And so the gospel, the Bible says, is offensive. It will offend you because it will offend your natural senses. And so when we're yielding to the Spirit of God, do you know what sometimes? It's going to offend your natural senses to yield to the Holy Spirit, because it will require you to step out of yourself. It will require you to suspend, in a sense, your senses. I'm not talking about that weird transcendental whatever stuff that people are doing. But when I say suspend your senses, it means put yourself aside. to yield to God, to yield your voice to God, to yield your life to God. And so I believe this is really important this morning because we need to let out another shout. We need to let out another shout. There needs to be a shout of praise. And I want you, just right now, where you're seated, you may want to stand, that's fine. I want you to close your eyes and think about my little Meemaw and dig deep and give a praise from deep, from a deep place. Not just, oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes, thank you. Thank you. You know, there's a difference in saying, oh, yeah, thank you, and thank you so much. You say, well, that's not my personality. I'm telling you, every one of us, there's something that makes our personality go to another level. And Jesus is more than enough reason. Amen? So let's give a shout of praise, and I want you to give a shout from your innermost being, and we're going to praise not just a hallelujah, but for a few seconds until I say stop. And I just believe that it's going to do something in your heart and in the atmosphere. The Spirit of God's already here, but I just feel led to do it. So let's do it. Is that all right? Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Afraid to let your Spirit move on us, in us, through us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You sense that freedom? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You can be seated. Just stay in the attitude of worship. You know, you can have that in your car. You can have that anytime. You can have that presence and that victory anytime, but you got to tap into it. Amen? We have to tap into it. You know, in situations you're walking maybe through a faith fight, there's a situation in your life that needs to turn around, and the enemy comes because he has the same bag of tricks. He's a one-trick pony. You know, don't let him convince you that your situation is special. And nobody's ever been through it, because that's a trap and a lie. We've all been through hard things, and he's come to steal every one of our joy, every one of our life, every one. He's tried to touch our finances, our body in different ways. You know, nobody is set apart in the kingdom for a special persecution. The enemy just comes that way. That's just how he is. But God is faithful. God is good. And he's for you, and he's for me. And so no matter what's coming against you, what we just did just now, you can set yourself in that place. Amen. The Bible says, I believe it was David, he set his face like a flint, right? He set his face like a flint. You got to set your, the way you set your face like a flint is in praise. It's a position of praise, where you decide you're going to put your eyes on God and nothing else. You can't praise and be worried at the same time. It's like light and darkness. The light overcomes the darkness. So you can't pray. You can't praise and be worried. They don't work together. It's like oil and water. They don't mix. You can't mix them. So thank God that we have a weapon of praise that we can use any time of day or night. Amen?
Amen.
And so this was totally not the direction I thought I was going to be going today. But I believe the Lord's going to work it all together. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 22. Actually, 2 Chronicles 20. And here, I'm not going to take the time necessarily to go through it and read it. But it says in verse 1, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1 in the Amplified, after this the Moabites, Ammonites, and the Meunites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. So a great multitude had surrounded him. And it says that Jehoshaphat set himself, I believe in verse 3, he set himself to seek the Lord. He set himself to seek the Lord. And in verse 15, I believe this is the prophet, he says, "Hearken all Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat. The Lord says this to you, do not be afraid or dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." You know what? I believe just because there's a great multitude against you, just because there's a situation against you, does not mean that you are out of the will of God. It does not mean that God is not for you. God is for you and God is with you. Even when you have messed up and the battle you're in is because of your own bad choices, do you know that God is a good father and he's faithful? He doesn't want to leave you in your mess to try to figure it out. I mean, think about the prodigal son. He had lost everything. He had spent all the money, all of his inheritance. But when he came home, his father met him with a ring, a robe, and a party. Amen? That doesn't mean we need to do whatever we want to do and live a lazy, sinful life and just expect that things are going to work out, whatever be will be, que sera. No. But if you find yourself in that place, if you find yourself in a place where you've made your bed, if you find yourself in a place of trying to recover, God is still for you. He sees ahead and he provides. Amen. He provided help for this army. And so whether you've been out of the will or you're in the will, well, we need to get in the will of God, first of all. But either way, the way to get back in is to do what Jehoshaphat did. He set himself to seek the Lord. And then when the word of the prophet came to him, he said, "Be not afraid or dismayed." And then verse 16, he says, "Tomorrow, go down to them." The prophet said, go down to the army. Go down to them. Don't run from them. There's some caves over here a few miles away. And here's your strategy to hide from the battle. No, he said, go to it. Go to the army. Don't you know it takes some boldness and some courage to run toward a giant? David had some courage when he ran towards the giant, when he ran towards Goliath. He had to have courage. And his courage came from his belief in what he knew that his God would do for him. He knew who was for him. He knew who was with him. And we see in this story here that Jehoshaphat and the armies, they were surrounded. And in verse 17, it says this, "You shall not need to fight in this battle. Take your positions." Everyone say, take your positions.
Take your positions.
"Stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord." Now, what kind of strategy in the natural does that sound like? Run to the army that's greater than you, that's coming against you, that's surrounded you. take your position and do nothing. Just stand still and see. How many of you have ever been in a trial and you knew all you could do was praise, and it was the hardest thing for you to get your flesh and your mind quiet and just to praise Him? Have you ever been there? I've been there. Your mind is trying to figure out how. Your mind is trying to figure out what the step is that you need to take, and you know all you can do is praise. All you can do in that moment is praise. And so He didn't tell him necessarily to do nothing, but He did say, stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord and worshiped the Lord. So their position and their place of standing still was not with activity. It was without a natural activity, but it was very productive spiritually. Because the activity the Lord told them and instructed them to do was to worship the Lord. And so they spent time worshiping and praising the Lord in the midst of the battle. They spent time worshiping and praising the Lord while they were surrounded by the enemy. In Psalm 23, it says that Thou prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. There's a table prepared before us in the presence of our enemies. But the way we partake of that table is through praise. It's through our thanksgiving. And so it says that the Levites and the otherites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. I know some people think I'm too loud. Couldn't she give a quieter praise? Can't we just give a soft hallelujah? Well, the Holy Spirit, He moves in a lot of different ways. He moves in silence. He moves in waiting. He moves in a sweet, tender song of worship and adoration. He moves in many different ways. But you know how else He also moves? He moves in joy. He moves in rejoicing. And He moves in a shout of praise. And I've noticed in the Word of God, when the people of God were in hard places, the thing that was required of them was to praise, was to lift up their voice. And how many of you can testify that in the natural, that it sometimes is the hardest thing to do when you're in the midst of a trial, is to lift your voice? The enemy fights so hard to keep you quiet, to keep your praise inside, because He knows that when you lift your voice, His assignments are stopped. And so He'll try to keep you inward focused, or try to get us to use our voice to describe the situation. I almost tried to describe something to my husband this morning. I don't remember what you said, but boy, we just jumped right off of it. Said, well, it's done. By the Word of God, it's done. It's gone. It's just, the flesh just wants to talk about things. The flesh wants to rehearse things. The flesh, something about the flesh and the soul, maybe you guys aren't this way. It just feels good to tell somebody how bad it's been. And to rehearse it. And in the moment, it just seems like the right thing to do. And to the world, they would say, go girl, vent. You got a right to your opinion. You got a right? You got a right to share? I'll be there for you. I'm so glad that my friends don't let me do that. Because you know what? It just keeps you in the same place you're in. The Lord didn't tell the armies of God to sit and talk about it and strategize and count how many people there were and count how many people they had and try to figure it out and you come up with a solution. No, he sent the word of the Lord to them. And the word of the Lord was, take your positions, stand still, and see the deliverance of the Lord. And in verse 21, it said this, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers to sing to the Lord and praise them in their holy garments. And the singers went out before the army. The singers went out before the army. Now, you may not have been around a lot of musicians and singers in your life, but I have. And when I think about the Lord sending the singers before the army, I think it's funny. Because I'm not saying that we're wimps or anything. But, you know, singers aren't the people that you normally see on the front lines. They haven't been in the gym pumping iron and drinking, you know, protein shakes. They've been sitting at their computer composing music and playing instruments. You know, if they've given themselves, and maybe these guys, they were probably tougher than maybe the musicians I know. But when I think about it, I do think it's amusing because it's not a natural strategy. This was a spiritual strategy. It was a spiritual strategy. And you know what? In life, it's so important that we understand that we are a spirit being first. We're a spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. So when we're living life and we're approaching the things that we face and we're walking with God through our life, we need to have more reverence and honor for the spiritual strategies because we are a spirit and the progress that God wants us to make and that he has for you and I and the promises of God and all the help that we need is going to be accessed by walking out the spiritual strategies by our spirit, from our spirit. And that praise that I was talking about, that my meemaw would unleash in the congregation, was from her spirit. It wasn't a flesh thing. It was from her spirit. And what we just did a moment ago, that wasn't a flesh thing. That wasn't a hype thing. It wasn't a come on somebody, give me 5 more seconds. Come on, see how loud you can get. I'm not against that. But sometimes we're doing stuff and it's just a bunch of hype. Come on, give me 3 more minutes of your praise and God's gonna drop a miracle on your head. And maybe he will. But there wasn't a push, it was just release your praise. Just release your praise. And I'm not making fun of that. Maybe I am trying to be funny. Forgive me. He wants you to release your praise. He doesn't want you to be hyped. He doesn't want you to bring yourself to a place of emotion and think that in that emotion that then there was the manifestation. It's the emotion is not where the manifestation is. The manifestation follows the heartfelt praise, the focus of the heart on God, not just the focus on, oh, God, help me. God, I need you to come through. He knows, he's aware, but the praise that comes from the inside is a one of belief. It's one of saying, I believe God. I trust God. Hallelujah. I'm taking my eyes off of me. I'm taking my eyes of what I see, off of what I see. I'm taking my eyes off of what I feel, and I'm going to connect my mouth with my spirit man, regardless of everyone else is in a crazy praise moment. And I love crazy praise. Hallelujah. But it needs to be an individual thing because it's your weapon. It's your spiritual power source. Your power source is from within. The power source is on the inside. So he wants us to unleash that so that he can do his will in the earth, so he can do his will in our life. And so it says, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed the singers to praise, and they sang this, give thanks to the Lord, For he is good, and his mercy and loving kindness endures forever. This was the praise. The praise that was lifted up was a sound of God, you are good. You are good and your mercy endures forever. You are good and your mercy endures forever. Now, they didn't have songwriters then like we have now, because this was a one verse stanza. There were not three verses and a chorus and a bridge. They had one thing. There was one thing that they had to say. I'm telling you, there have been times where I've said this so many times, you start to think, man, this is really boring. Your flesh, your soul will go, is this getting anywhere? Is my hallelujah, praise you, Lord, thank you, Jesus, is it going anywhere? And I want to tell you, yes, it is. The Bible says he hears the prayer of the righteous. His ear is open to the cry and the prayer of the righteous. And so when we're saying, thank you, Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Thank you, Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. The ear of the Father is hearing and he's responding. Amen. There's a pastor friend of ours who recently went to be with Jesus, and he tells a story about how he was facing a lawsuit. And I'm not sure what the lawsuit was over, but how many of you know a lawsuit's just no fun? It's no good. It's no fun. Messes with your time. Can mess with your money. And he prayed and sought the Lord what to do, what to do. And the only thing the Lord gave him to do was this right here. He said, take your position. Take your position and just say, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. And he said during that length of time, every time he would think about it, every time he would think about that case, he would say, Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Thank you, Lord, that you're good and your mercy endures forever. He said, I would be in the courtroom and the proceedings would be going on, and quietly under my breath, I would be saying, thank you, Lord, for you are good and your mercy endures forever. And he said, it looked like things were not going to go our way, but he said, all of a sudden, things changed. And he said, things were turned in our favor and we won that case that looked impossible. Praise God. And so I just want to encourage you today, whatever you're facing, to release your praise, to release your praise to God. I mean, there's something different. What am I talking about? I'm not just talking about listening to a song on YouTube that you like, because my husband and I, we like to do that. We have certain songs we like, and they minister to our soul, minister to my spirit. They help me, they bless me, and I'll listen to them. But it doesn't quite do the trick. Sometimes I'll just realize, there was a season I was going through about 12 years ago, and I'd been through a situation. It was a big disappointment. And for several days, just in my soul, I was struggling, I was sad. And so I would turn this song on about victory. Had a really cool beat. Some of you probably heard it before. I got the victory, victory. Devil is defeated and God be praised. I got the victory, victory. I got the victory. Hey. So good. It has a really good beat. Well, I would play that on repeat for like 2 days. I was playing that song on repeat because it made me feel good. It just made me feel good. It made me feel like everything was going to be okay. But I was driving down the street and I'm listening to, I got the victory, victory. And the Holy said, is that doing anything for you? I knew what he was saying. And that's making you feel good. But how are you really going to get through? And I knew I had to shut off my Christian music. And I needed to dig in to the victory that was on the inside of me. And when I made a choice to not just listen to somebody else sing about victory, but I made a choice to let a victory song come out of my spirit, then that sadness, that heaviness, that oppression, it began to leave. And I had to do that for several days till it was completely gone. But I had to take my position. I had to take my position. And you are God's no respecter of persons. We all have to take our position. And that's the position of faith. It's not just something that we do in church. It's not just something we do when Pastor Shelley is leading worship. Thank God for that. Thank God for the atmosphere. But what are we doing day to day? What are we doing when the rubber meets the road and we're walking through situations? He wants us to lift our voice in praise. And so if we read on here, we find out that as the people of God went forward, they begin to sing and praise. In verse 22, it says, "The Lord set ambushments against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir." And it says that when the Lord set the ambushments, they destroyed each other. The enemy, they killed off each other. So your enemy will take care of himself. That's the strategy.
That's awesome.
Isn't that awesome? I don't have to know how to take him out. I don't have to know how to turn it around. The Lord knows how to turn it around. And the enemy will run when he hears the sound of praise. We think about Paul and Silas. They were put in jail for doing the will of God. I mean, come on. If anything could damper your spirit and damper your praise, it'd be being put in jail for preaching, doing good, preaching the gospel. Thrown in jail. They didn't sit in there and ask for some antidepressants. Better give Paul some antidepressants. He's going down. And if you deal with that and you're on that, there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. Whatever you need as your faith is working, we all have to use medical intervention in different ways. So I need to say that because I don't want anyone to receive condemnation from that comment. But it was the praise. It was the praise. It was the praise within them. That it says as they begin to sing and to praise, that the shackles, their shackles were removed. It was like an earthquake. The whole prison cell was shaken. All of their bands were loosed. They were all set free. So this is the powerful thing. It just takes one person. It just takes one person who's willing to live the life of praise. You know what the life of praise is? It's a life of faith. If you want to know who a faith person is, they're a person full of joy. They're a person full of praise. They're a person who does the Word of God. The Word of God says, let everything we do be done in thanksgiving. Let everything we do be done in praise. A person of faith, sometimes you look at and you think, they're a little bit crazy. Because all hell can be breaking loose and they're not shaken. They're not moved. But when you praise God, there's something that happens in the atmosphere, but there's something that happens in you. It settles you. It's your anchor. And I believe Jehoshaphat, when they were fighting this battle, their praise anchored them to be able to stand still. How else could you stand still in a battle? They stood still and they praised God, and the Lord took care of their enemies. And then at the end it says that there was so much spoil left from their enemies that they were 3 days gathering up the spoil. So on the other side of their battle was a blessing. And on the other side of you and I's battle are a blessing. But we've got to make a choice to rise up and access our victory, because on the other side of our victory is a blessing. Now I can just sit down and go, man, I'm done. This is hard. See ya? I'm done. I'm out. Have you ever just thought, man, I'm done fighting. I don't have to fight this. It's no big deal. No, the Lord wants you and I. He wants to make his name a praise in the earth. How many of you can say that his name was made a praise in the earth through Paul and Silas? His name was made a praise in the earth through Jehoshaphat. Through the people of God taking their position, standing still and seeing the deliverance of God. Amen. And so think about that. As Paul and Silas praised, not just their bands were loosed, but everybody's bands were loosed. It reminds me of my meemaw. I don't know who else around us, their bands were loosed, but every time I was close to her in praise, my bands were loosed. I can't tell you what they all were. Some of them were rebellion and anger and different things, but it was loosed. I was free every time I got around my meemaw. Whew, in that setting. Praise God. And so why is this so important? If you're here last night, we talked about seeing and possessing the land. We have to see before we can possess the land that God has for us. And God has for things for you and I to possess. He has a plan and He has a purpose for our lives. Well, this phrase dropped in my heart too. What you believe, you'll manifest. And when you find yourself in the middle of a battle, whatever battle that might be, what you believe, you'll manifest. And as the people of God were fighting this battle, in the midst of the battle, they had to believe the word of the Lord. They had to believe what the prophet said. In verse 20, he says, "Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe and remain steadfast to his prophets, and you will prosper." What we believe will manifest. And do you know what your praise is? It's a sign of what you believe. My praise is a sign of what I believe. My praise is a sign of my belief in God. And so I believe that God has a plan for each life here. I know He has a plan for this church. He has a mission to accomplish. And He's going to do it with our yes. And He's going to do it with our praise. The first start is our yes, just to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm willing and I'm obedient. Whatever giant you want me to face, whatever thing you want me to address, whatever path in my life you want me to take, it doesn't matter what obstacles I see on the path. It doesn't matter what seems like could be blocking me from being able to get to the thing that you've shown me in my heart, the picture in my heart. I'm going to say yes to you." That's the first step. That's just like the key to the door. And then praise will keep you moving. It'll keep you moving. It'll keep you moving in the right direction. It'll propel you forward in the plan of God. It'll propel you forward in the will of God. It'll bring you out of things. Amen. I know a lady, a missionary in the Philippines. She was diagnosed with cancer. And she said she just, every day, she spent time worshiping God. She just stayed in the presence. She stayed in the throne room, worshiping God as her healer. "Lord, I worship you as my healer. Thank you, Lord, that you're my healer." And she said, "It looked like I wasn't getting better. It looked like I was getting worse. But I kept praising the Lord. I kept worshiping the Lord." And then the time came when there was no cancer left, when there was no evidence of that cancer in her body. But her position was not a man could not do anything for her, but her position was in God, and her position was a place of praise. Amen? Amen. And so imagine this. Praise takes you into the throne room of heaven. And the throne room of heaven is where spiritual transactions are made. Amen. And so if you need a transaction, a heavenly transaction in your life, if you need a heavenly transaction of healing in your body, divine healing, divine life, divine help, it's in the throne room. It's in the place of praise, because God sees it already done. God sees you already victorious. God sees you already healed. The healing has already been obtained. The provision has already been made, but I have to access it by korabasi kelebrande. Hallelujah. I praise you. I thank you that it's mine. I glorify you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. I praise you, Lord, that you're at work in my life. I praise you that you're at work in my family. Oh, Lord, I'm not going to look at the past and wonder how I could have done this or done that differently, because you're good and your mercies endure forever. So I just enter into your presence and I praise you. I thank you, Lord, that you're my healer. I trust you, Lord. I believe your word, Lord, and I praise you for it. Hallelujah. I am healed. I am whole. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I bless you. I magnify you. Hallelujah. I glorify you, Lord. And as you do that, victory rises within you and you start to see yourself healed. You start to see yourself well. And maybe you have children in your family who need to come to God. And do you do the same concerning them? You go into the throne room and get what you need. Go into the throne room and get what you need. There's no one who doesn't have the code to the throne room. I just gave it to you. If you didn't already have it, and this is something we probably all know, but this is the key to the throne room. And praise will establish your belief in God, and it will help you. It won't help you. Praise will win the battle. You're not the one who has to win the battle. Praise, 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 praise from your lips, from your heart, from your innermost being. Amen. Positions you for victory and to do all the will of God. Praise God. How many of you say, man, I want to do all the will of God? Amen. I want to stand before God and hear, well done. And you know, this is a key to propel us to do the will of God. Amen. Praise God. We'll just take a moment to praise Him.